Welcome to the Eldritch Estate, an establishment dedicated to the bizarre, the dark, and all that is otherworldly. We invite our guests to come and stay a while, to enjoy the haunted hallways, the shrieks of terror and delight, to forget time in our enchantingly disturbing abode. Whether it's for an overnighter or a week-long stay, our hostesses will see to it that you are shocked, horrified, and left morbidly curious about the goings-on here at the estate. Will you take a trip with us? We can't wait for you to see what's in store.
Hello, and welcome back to the Eldritch Estate. I'm Dusty.
And I'm Katie.
And we have with us here Keith from USB Escape. Would you like to introduce yourself?
Yeah, you guys covered it perfectly. I'm Keith from USB Escape.
What is USB Escape?
USB Escape is a take-home horror escape room game. So if you think of escape room games where you're locked in a room for 60 minutes, this is one where the room comes to your house. And the game is played entirely, you guessed it, on a USB stick. So plug it in your computer and away you go.
Okay, cool. I think that's super awesome, and I would like to check it out more for sure.
Yes.
We should do that.
Challenge accepted.
Maybe we could record ourselves playing it.
Yes.
And Keith is mostly going to be leading us through today's content. He has this really cool thing that he was telling us about, and we thought it sounded awesome, so he's going to go ahead and tell us all about Cicada 3301.
Yeah, I'm so excited to be able to talk about this. As a puzzle creator, we'll get into Cicada 3301, and you'll see kind of the parallels there. It definitely scratched that itch for the puzzle creator side of me, because it's all about creepy internet puzzles with suspicious backgrounds and texts and secret societies and all that other stuff. So this was something I'm really excited to be a part of. So, yeah. Absolutely. First and foremost, I want to thank you guys for having me on your podcast. I've listened to quite a few of the stuff that you have, and this is amazing, and I'm so excited to be here.
Thank you. We're super excited to have you.
Yeah. So, I'm super excited. So, if you guys aren't going to stop me, I'm going to talk about Cicada 3301 for a little bit.
Go for it.
Hit me, bartender.
So, for those who don't know about Cicada 3301, it started online January 5th, 2012, so not that recently ago, but it's something that's still talked about to this day. So browsing on 4chan's X board, which is just kind of like the random board, an image popped up. So this is not uncommon for 4chan, which is a very similar website to Reddit or something like that, that kind of focuses a little more on anonymity. So a user by the name 3301 posted a picture, and the picture said, "Hello, we are looking for highly intelligent individuals. To find them, we have devised a test. There is a hidden message in this image. Find it, and we'll lead you on the road to finding us. We look forward to meeting the few that make it all the way through. Good luck, 3301. So that was the start of everything for this, what was soon to be found out, online internet treasure hunt, scavenger hunt. And right from the get, there was a lot of speculation of what it could be. Anybody kind of puts out a challenge on the internet, it's usually quickly met by a lot of skeptics and people who just kind of don't want to have their time wasted. And there's a lot of bad imitators out there, but this one quickly proved that it was something different. So what actually was found in this this image was a hidden message within the image. So if you open this image up in a text browser, what it'll give you is a bunch of text which will have the word Tiberius Clavius Caesar, which alludes to a Caesar cipher. So immediately you can see that we're dealing with some codes. Decoding this brought you to a link, and the link brought you to what seemed like a dead end.
Okay.
This was another JPEG, and there was a wooden duck with the word "whoops" in capital. This is just a decoy. The text underneath says,
"I get it."
Could you imagine? You were like, I 100% got this. I've nailed this part of the puzzle. Like, let's get rolling. And it's immediately dead end, right?
Yeah.
Now.
I would have been like, well, damn, it's an error message. Maybe I didn't get it. I thought I had it.
Yeah. I think the image itself, too, is very, I don't know if clickbaity is, like, the right term. But, like, it's like, we're looking for highly intelligent individuals. Like, that's going to get some people to be like, all right, I'm highly intelligent. I got this. Like, how dare you question me?
And anybody who's ever attempted, like, a online, they're often called ARGs, or, you know, think of them as, like, group escape rooms, where, you know, internet sleuths kind of put together puzzles,
mm-hmm.
they're usually met with Caesar ciphers.
Okay.
So, the best way to explain a Caesar cipher is that letters will be shifted by a predetermined number, so a one Caesar cipher will be, or a two Caesar cipher will be shifted over two. So A actually equals C. So
okay.
when you write cat, you would say A, C, T, or, yeah, you get how I'm saying it.
Right,
I
right.
it on the fly. But the letters shift by a certain number. So this is a absolutely easy puzzle to get. And then when you get that, oh, this is the wrong answer, dead end, it must have been, experiencing it for the first time, it must have been extremely annoying because
yeah.
like, I've got this, I've seen this before, let's go. And but the funny thing is that actually by reaching this dead end, everybody was on the right track. So a couple of very intelligent individuals deciphered from the message underneath that says, which said, looks like you can't guess how to get the message out. So what this had done is it was alluding to a program called OutGuess, which the two words out and guess were in this fake ending. So I will be the first to admit I don't know how OutGuess works. I don't know how it how
I would
it,
also
how
be
it,
on that list of people who don't know how that works.
But this this essentially translates this message into from a code into leading to a book. So now we've gone from a simple image to a face or a fake ending to now a book. So we can see how really quickly these puzzles have started to capture the imagination of people online. And this is just within the first couple of days that it's been set out. This is only weeks at this point. This is not months or years.
Okay.
And I'm not going to, spoiler alert, this is something that has been going on for quite a few years. So what had happened is the image led to a book, the book led to a code, and more information was given. So once the book was able to be deciphered, it led to another hint, which had alluded to there being three prime numbers associated with the original .jpg image. So the original image that I read to you at the start about looking for the individuals. So what I read to you earlier, I'm not going to read it again, but I didn't mention any numbers. It gave
right.
a little clue to start us off that it used the original idea of 3301. So I know the answer. I'm not going to pick on you guys just to show how in-depth these puzzles are. It's nice to hear them being repeated back to us, but to actually think of the individuals who are dealing with this completely blind for the first time, how would you attack looking at that original image to find two extra prime numbers?
Right.
I would not have even made it past the first clue, so.
And a lot of people hadn't, so they were looking for a certain type of people, which kind of started to allude to how they were possibly a recruiting tool for maybe a secret society, or maybe the CIA, FBI, NSA, something like that, or maybe an international organization. So these rumors started to work. How you were able to extract the prime numbers was the dimensions of the actual photos, the width and the length. So that sounds really easy when you've got the answers in front of you, but
right.
if you're sitting there and trying to come up with the answer as you're going, that can be quite difficult. And so what you needed to do was multiply 3301, which was the given clue that was given to you,
right.
the width and the length, which were both prime numbers, and put a .com at the end, and it brought you to a website. Now, once again, there's a situation where there was, you've got a book, you've got a code, and you now end up with a website. On the website, you were brought to a couple more images. So we're seeing a repeating pattern of, as you progress, you're given more information, but more questions as you go.
Okay.
The two images that you were given on the website, I do apologize, there was first a countdown on the website, so there was a timer going, so people had to wait. So it kind of allowed a catch-up mechanism for everybody who might have been trailing behind, which I think is pretty fun. But the images, once the countdown timer released, was a welcome mat and a very skewed version of an art piece. If you've seen those Magic Eye posters or something,
yes,
like that,
it's giving me Jane Silent Bob vibes. Is that Mallrats?
Mallrats, yeah.
So, and for anybody who's playing along at home, this information is quick moving and it's moving along at a quick pace while I'm repeating it, but it's something you can, is very, very well documented. So as opposed to a lot of online mysteries that tend to come and go and might not have a team of individuals or might just be somebody trying to get, as the kids say, internet clout.
right.
this was definitely highly organized, so there was kind of more of a precipice of people saw the, for lack of a better term, production value behind what these puzzles were about and what they were doing. So by deciphering the photos that you have, we've got a little bit more work in cryptology, and you were, by using OutGuess one more time, which had used earlier in the Duck Dead End poster,
right,
you were able to get some keywords and some sentences. So this was the introduction of what is called in cryptology, a MIT, I'm hoping I'm not pronouncing this properly, but it's basically an encryption signature, and yeah, MIT key server. So by using an MIT key server, you could check the validity of it. So it's really nice that we're able to talk about this in the year 2021, because non-fungible tokens or NFTs are something that I feel like at least the general population has a sense of,
right,
if not Bitcoin works interchangeably. The reason why your NFT or your Bitcoin belongs to you is because you have a code that essentially validates it. So money's code that validates it is the fact that it sits in your pocket and not my pocket. Bitcoins and NFTs, what validates it is a string of code that essentially proves ownership, like a certificate of authenticity. So Mint key servers and what had been set up for the answer of figuring out this welcome mat, as well as this seeing eye,
the illusion, yeah,
illusion photo, was essentially Cicada 3301, the individual or the group, saying, hey, we recognize that there'll be a lot of people who are going to try to derail this game by saying, oh, here's a new puzzle from Cicada 3301. It's a link to my website where you can, you know, buy my, you know, t-shirts or whatever.
Right.
And try to hijack the game. So it's... they essentially had a creation of code that that validated the authenticity of information from it.
Yeah.
So think of it as like a secret handshake that everybody on the internet is able to verify.
Yeah, this is going to really cut down on copycats and people who are, like you said, trying to either derail it or take it over.
Monetize it.
Pretend to be them.
It would be like if every time you told a joke at a party, it just ensured that nobody else could go tell that joke to a new group of people. And
I would run out of material pretty quick.
All the style points, yeah. So
yeah,
it was the introduction of this as well. And then another image that, or another part of the key from it, was just a little bit of encouragement from 3301, because the puzzles that were being put out were being received, but because of the difficulties and the fracturing of the skill levels between the people investigating, whether they were investigating a group or individuals, there was a slowdown on it. So this was our first interaction from 3301 recognizing the community around it. So this is a really cool indicator of something which is always the end question after we talk about Cicada 3301, is what or who do you believe is behind it? And this is a big indication of these are people who want people to succeed, but not everybody.
Yeah.
And I think this is a very, very interesting piece to understanding why Cicada 3301 is so popular, but also why it is such an everlasting mystery, because it works in the same way that high-end designers market their clothes or, you know, luxury cars. Not everybody can afford a Lamborghini, therefore Lamborghinis are valuable.
Yeah, it's exclusive.
So, you raise your prices in the crowd. It's the same as hairstylists.
Exactly, yeah, and you can come up with multiple different ones. So, yeah, so we have a puzzle that, as opposed to a lot of other puzzles which want to market itself to have everybody solve it, they don't want everybody to solve it. So they're striking the balance between too difficult, that they have no applicants, and too easy, where they have too many applicants, which just really lends itself to this possibly being a recruiting tool for a secret society or a government organization. And it really pulls it away from it just being some 14-year-old with a basic level of coding in his mom's basement just having a kick at the expense of the internet.
Right. Well, and it takes so much more effort to create a puzzle than it does to solve one. Because like you said, you already have all the answers, you can see all the different avenues, but you have to format it in a way that other people can follow it and get to that conclusion. But like you said, make it hard enough that not everybody can do that. So I think whoever's behind it is like, yeah, executing an extremely high level of difficulty and being very clever.
Yeah, and that is the difficulty that is struck by a lot of people who are inspired by this story, who want to go on to create their own puzzles. I would be lying to say that I wasn't in some way inspired by Cicada 3301. In my puzzle creation now, I will be quite candid for USB Escape, my small take-home escape room business company. We don't make puzzles that are so difficult that you have to get outguess and you have to
That's
you
good.
Have to know programming to get some basic things, and everything you receive is from the game and you don't need a special key code to verify it. So there is quite a bit of difference, but the secret society and the lore and stuff like that, and I'm not alone in the people who wanted to emulate that. What happened next was particularly amazing because it brought the game into the real world. The next thing that had happened is after the countdown timer had run its course and all the puzzles had been solved, there was now a way to find out through outguess the coordinates of actual spots in the world where there was Cicada 3301 posters with QR codes. And so this took a small little internet puzzle that could have been done from my basement here in Canada if I was Cicada. I'm not Cicada 3301.
But are you, though?
into the real world. I do not have the ability to put up posters in the U.S., in South Korea, in Paris, in different parts of Europe, but here were these QR codes with the logo of Cicada 3301 attached to them, and the coordinates given, and individuals had gone out and scanned these QR codes and verified it through the text code that showed that it was verified.
You alone couldn't do that, but if you had a team of people creating this puzzle, it may be more feasible.
Now, yeah, and the one thing that it does lend itself to more of an organized, structured sense. However, the one thing that I will say to not get completely carried away by the boogeyman that is in the internet spooky puzzle is that I can get my flowers delivered to my mom on Mother's Day despite not living in the same city as her.
Right.
And it costs me some money, but I can get somebody else to do it.
I was just thinking that either they're part of the organization, or you could just, like, essentially hire somebody. Hey, I need you to go put up these flyers in this location. No questions asked. Here's the money.
Right. I would not want to go to that
poster.
No,
right?
Be like, all right, watch out for, like, white windowless vans.
Once you start dealing with location, yeah, it's a lot more serious, because you have people who are physically in a place, or things that are physically in a place, and it's like, okay, now we can, like, go there, and things can happen. I feel like it's a lot more real than just, yeah, on the internet.
And I think that's a very important thing in terms of touching on when people end up creating their, making up their mind on whether they believe this is a large secretive organization or it's a 14-year-old in a basement somewhere. I think when you have an aspect of it being in the physical world, not just the digital world, is that I can reach out and touch you because I have proven that I can go into the physical world.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And that creates a new level of mystery and, to be quite candid, a new level of fear, because there's a certain amount of anonymity that is trusted with our internet.
Yeah, exactly.
We are right now talking through the internet, but if you were to show up at my house, that would be very creepy.
Literally question number one. I was like, are we meeting this person in person to record? Because you can't do that at a Starbucks, and I don't want to die. I've listened to too much true crime for this.
Right, we do a true crime podcast, and so we're like, yeah, meeting someone someplace that you don't know, person you don't know, absolutely mm-hmm. not. That's how you get moited.
Mm-hmm. Not murdering people is my favorite thing about being a guest on podcasts, so yeah, I think you guys are safe.
You're the perfect
yeah,
guest.
Exactly what a murderer would say, you know. So.
It sounds exactly like something a murderer would say.
So the QR codes had two different messages, which was the first example of needing to rely on other individuals. This was an instance of collaboration that was not expressed up to this point.
Oh, okay.
It relied on people needing each other, which was a direct contradiction from we only want the smart individuals. So there's been a lot of speculation in terms of people assuming that Cicada 3301 wanted the intelligent people to get together so that we could kind of have a class sample size. So think of whenever this part of the story, whenever I revisit it, I always think of like the X-Men coming together. And I always just think that there is, like, a separate class of people who want to be X-Men that are like, I just wish I was just a little bit more powerful to do that.
No, literally, so, Xavier's School for Gifted Youngsters, like, there's so many kids that attend there, but then there's, like, the X-Men that go out and do missions and hero shit, right?
Absolutely. So, and I think this kind of broke this down into the classes, which I think was a pretty interesting decision by Cicada 3301 in terms of grouping people together rather than keeping them separate. So the sum is greater than the part, the sum of the parts, right? The whole is greater than the sum of the parts. And so we now have a class of really smart people working together, and now the puzzles are going to get a little more difficult, and it's going to be easy to weed out the people who aren't pulling their weight.
Wow.
And I think that was a pretty interesting decision on behalf of Cicada. So the two different parts, once again, are going to lead to a book. The book has a code, and we are working through puzzles one more time. So the second code led to a poem by Agrippa. I'm going to pronounce some things wrong in this, but Agrippa is probably one of them. And then once you found the poem, it got to a .onion site.
A what?
The Onion, like the news network that's a comedy thing.
The satire website.
Not at all.
Oh.
this is access through a Tor network. So this is where we get into the nitty gritty on stuff, and there's going to be some of your fans out there that are going to, correct me very out loud while listening to this and go, what he's saying is essentially right, but in the most wrong way possible. But my understanding is that Dot Onion is not accessible through the surface web, it's through deep web. Now, deep web has been mystified by Hollywood.
The dark web,
I bought it. Signed, sealed, delivered. You said that, and I was like, no, I hate it.
Skirt.
We're going to red rooms and secret societies and, you know, random things where people are paying millions of dollars of bitcoins to find out what we do to a random prisoner somewhere hidden in the world. That is a really cool thing that Hollywood's put together, and I love that story trope and that direction that Hollywood took it. But the majority of the deep web is just the stuff that's too boring for the surface web, and it's just the background data to a lot of things. So it's a great place to hide stuff, because the surface web really represents just a small fraction of what's actually online, because for every web page you have, you need to have the backup data.
Right.
For all the, you know, for every silly Flash game you played as a kid, you need to have the code behind it, and that's a lot of that's on the deep web, and among the muddled masses is this Dot Onion file. And the Dot Onion file, I mean, it's great because a lot of the stuff is still up there. And if you have a Tor browser, which I don't suggest going on to the deep web unless you know
what
you're doing. I don't even download music illegally anymore. It's too dangerous. I think we've all lost at least one computer to something related to LimeWire, and that's not even getting on the deep web yet. So
when the operating system just uninstalls itself, and you're like, oh, okay,
you're looking quite blue.
Totally worth it for this Kesha song or whatever.
Hey, sometimes you gotta find out that, you know, my heart beats like an 808 drum. You know, and that's the only way to listen to it.
There you go.
You know what the worst part is? I think, like, Kesha was too late for, like, a lot of music down there.
I think so, too. I was saying that, and I was like, no. Probably Linkin Park, though.
I'm just seeing, the Metallica Napster flyer thing in my head.
Yeah.
Whenever I think about downloading music, I definitely think about the Linkin Park Jay-Z, collaboration.
Yeah.
That is, the quintessential, I downloaded that.
It really is.
I mean, allegedly.
Allegedly.
I don't know. Yeah, allegedly. So this Dot Onion is now bringing us to the deep web. So now it's saying, hey, you're met with a message. It says, congratulations, create a new email address with a public free web-based service. Once you've never used before, it looks like a spelling error, one you've never used before, and enter it below. We recommend you do this while using Tor, so this is the application used to get to the deep web, for anonymity. We will email you a number within the next few days in order for you to arrive at this page. Once you've received it, come back to this page and append a slash and then the number you will receive this URL. For example, you receive and then there's a string of numbers, then you will go to http://, and then you just put in the string of code. And it's signed off by 3301, and once again, it's signed off with that code.
Interesting.
So this is where we see this class size that we had of people getting together. Now you are being assigned an individual email address that is accessible on the deep web. And this is a fracturing of the groups that have just been put together.
Right.
So it's really interesting because now the individuals are basically creating their own usernames and they're creating a class size, and now we can see what's being tested. So what was sent to the individuals by accessing this was told that was supposed to be hush hush, was supposed to be not shared to the expulsion from the contest, from the, you know, experiment, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, you don't talk about Fight Club.
Exactly, it's the number one commandment. It's, don't talk about Fight Club. we're going to talk about it because not everybody follows rules.
Yeah, and let's face it, I wasn't going to be solving this puzzle anyway, so...
Correct.
I can be kicked out of the group, it's fine.
People definitely don't follow directions. I'm like, okay, have a seat, I'm going to put a towel down before you lay back. And then they sit down and lay back, and I'm like, girl, I still got to pull all those foils out of your hair, sit up.
Don't even tell me about people not following simple directions, because
on
let
God.
Me tell you...
On God.
7 classes a day, every day, I just...
yeah, I think everybody in their own professional life has a testament to,
per my last email.
Yes, as per my last email. I love writing that. I've been, not to detract too much from the story that we're talking about, but I have positioned myself into a role where we don't need to go hunting for business for my day job, which puts food on my plate and gas in my car. So we take the clients we want. And my favorite thing about that job is telling clients, based off the information you've given me, we don't want your money. And
Man.
That is always so surprising to everybody, and it is such a good feeling.
Yes, it is.
Everybody be awesome enough that, and I can't say I'm awesome enough, I'm awesome enough to work for a company that's awesome enough. And definitely do that. Be your own Cicada 3301. Create your own puzzles in the sense of, could you imagine if your individual jobs, people had to solve riddles just in order to, like, book an appointment with you or attend class? Like, how great would that be?
Yeah. Unfortunately, I feel like I'm the one solving the riddle most of the time.
On God. They're like, I want my bangs to go, ch-ch-ch. I'm like, oh, honey, can you not speak in sound effects? I need real descriptions.
Yeah. That's, you know what, and those are the times where you say, you know, if it was only two ch, by that third ch is going to be an extra $12, just so you know. And they're like, oh, what? And I'm like, oh, well, if you're not going to explain it to me, I'm going to add arbitrary cost on
it. It's a translation fee.
Code word, asshole tax.
Yeah, absolutely. So we've been having a pattern up until this point with Cicada 3301, where it's book, code, book. Code. We are now having 29 volumes of a book.
Wow.
Of different books.
Woo.
And this is where we see that this small class is having to deal with quite a bit to take on. So this is where the real grunt work is put in. And I like to think of this moment as when the Navy SEALs are, you know, are training and they, you know, they gotta ring that bell to, like, just leave, and they're just going through it, it's raining, it's cold, and they're just miserable. And I think, you know, Cicada 3301 is putting this together is kind of like, hey, you know what, we're gonna make this miserable for you. We could just make another simple code and point you in the right direction. We're gonna make you do the grunt.
This is Hell Week.
This is Hell Week. Oh, I'm such a sucker for those movies, too.
Yeah. And what about how long has this been going at this point? We started in January. What are we up to now?
We are sitting around June, July, I believe.
Okay.
I got to double check. I don't... If you wanted a guest that had, like, specific dates and was very, like, quantifiable about it, you should ask somebody else to be on here. We should talk about something else, you know?
No, approximations are totally good with us. I was just curious, because you said it progressed rather quickly at the beginning over a course of days and weeks, and now, like you're saying, it sounds like, you know, shit's about to go down, and we're at the, like, 6-month mark, approximately, it sounds like.
Right, yeah. And so... Yeah, people are pushed together and are moving towards, like, the answers. But once again, we're seeing a breakdown of people being invited and different people being excluded. So what ends up being created with this is that because not everybody could access the tour website, because the people who were invited had created their own emails, and there was a set number of them. We are now dealing with a small group of them, and some of them who have talked about it. So this is the only part that ends up being a little bit difficult. And what that leads to, after an indiscriminate amount of time, I'm sure there's an actual timeline. Like I said, have a better guest on. Bet your guest better. I don't know what to tell you. This is on you guys, not on me.
Hey, I'm having fun. It's all right.
we get our final message from Cicada 3301, and it says, "Hello, we have found the individuals we sought. Thus, our month-long journey ends." So I'm assuming they've been in class for a month, so July to August, I guess, for now. "Thank you for your dedication and effort. If you are unable to complete this test, there will be more opportunities like this one. Thank you all, 3301. And then the source code proving that it's them. So we see a whatever has been found is closed off. Once again, this solidifies the idea of the exclusivity, which makes a lot of people question, hey, you know what, this is probably not just somebody who wants internet history or internet fame, because they would have come out by now and be like, hey, how great was that puzzle? Everybody, give me your awards and cheers, and I want to be on Hollywood Squares or whatever. I really wanted to say Hollywood Squares so that everybody under the age of, like, 27 didn't know what the heck I was talking about.
Yeah.
Kids, Google Hollywood Squares. It's like Jeopardy, but lamer.
I was thinking that when you were, like, explaining what 4chan was, I was like, oh, yeah, the Gen Zers and young millennials will be like, what?
It's like Reddit with more porn.
Wait, Reddit has porn, though.
Yeah.
I'm outing myself now, but Reddit totally has porn. The subgenres are extremely specific.
Sometimes it's like a subreddit of a subreddit of a subreddit, and you're like, calm down.
My favorite thing is that you can find something that is not explicitly explicit, but still intended with explicit splice, where it's just like, hey, you know, like, girls with really pretty ears, and I'm like, wow, that's a subreddit. I don't know if that's a real subreddit, but... and it's not one that I'm subscribed to, at least. But there is a lot of very dedicated subreddits to very small, niche things. So, I mean, it's great for that. If there's one takeaway I want your audience to really take away from this, is that Reddit's for porn and it's great.
I would argue that the internet is for porn as well, honestly.
The internet is for porn.
And there's another reference that's going to fly over the head of anybody under the age of, like, 25.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm just gonna say we're basically creating a summer reading list for your, you know, for any of your audience below the age of 25. Check out Avenue Q. It's a Muppets meet South Park. I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
What's Avenue Q?
Yeah, I would say Muppets meet South Park is a good way to put it.
Yeah. So we've got apparently the conclusion to the first section of Cicada 3301. So it shuts down, speculations continue, and that's it, and it's silent. So with anything else on the internet, silence is deadly, and it kills anything for people to want to continue.
That algorithm will get you.
Yeah,
the algorithm gets you. Yeah.
And so, I heard that there were people that, like, quit their jobs to pursue this, too. So then for it to just, like, go away, it's like, okay, well, now not only is this treasure hunt, this scavenger hunt that I was on, over, but I am not gainfully employed, and what have I been doing for the last several months?
What kind of life do you lead that you quit your job to solve a mysterious internet puzzle?
I mean...
Send us a listener tale.
Send us a listener tale.
Okay, so, I mean, I'm going to turn that question back on you guys, because I'm genuinely interested. What would it take you guys to quit your job to do something, like, to do something crazy? What would it have to be?
It would have to be something else that allows me to pay my bills.
Yep.
Sorry, let me rephrase the question. What would make you quit your job with no certainty of, like, to pay your bills? Like, what carrot does somebody have to dangle in front of you that you're like, I'm willing to live on virtually no money for the next year to pursue this crazy thing?
Wow, I don't know. That's a thinker.
Probably, like, guaranteeing my child's safety or something.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Or, like, a commune.
That's so much less selfish than what I was like, oh, man, I can think of, like, three different, like, celebrities that I would totally be like, oh, yeah, I'll be on your team. I'll live in a van. It's fine. It's cool.
Yeah, yeah.
You're like, I would take care of my family. I'm like, oh, well, you're a better person than me. It's okay. We all know it now, so.
It's out there in the open. It's fine. Yeah, and so, I'm not the type of person that likes attention or, like, fame or anything like that, so it would have to be, like, yeah, maybe if I could live in China and do martial arts with, like, high-level athletes for as long as my body could take it, that would be cool.
If they would tell me who killed JonBenet Ramsey.
Ooh.
Ooh. Yeah. Yeah, okay. Okay, so you would exchange information. Okay, so you're working with the FBI agents, and you guys are, like, closing in on the exact answer to who killed JonBenet Ramsey, but they need one extra set of hands. You're the one they're asking for you, but the pay is $50 a day. So you're like, yeah, I'm on board. I like it.
Yeah, like, I would do that.
Cool. Especially like assisting.
I was going to say, especially considering what I get paid to teach in the state that I live in, I would do that.
Yeah.
So, once again, I think we're going to leverage this podcast. So if anybody from the FBI is listening, you can get a rocking steal of a deal for some very, very cheap investigative work. So you just got to...
We're funnier than interns, too.
It's true.
So a year later on the anniversary, January 5th, 2013, my birthday, you don't need to send me anything.
Happy birthday.
Well, it's not my birthday today. It's the anniversary of maybe I'm Cicada 3301, and this is my...
I'm saying the clues are adding up.
I haven't seen you both in the same room.
That's very true, yeah. I mean, I'm completely different. My logo for my small for my escape room business is a butterfly, and this is a cicada. They're completely wildly different, so I'm just saying. No.
Wait, why for insects?
As you told, I had a thought when I was putting this together, and when I was thinking about talking about this, was I was like, there's no chance that this ever gets back to Cicada 3301. I mean, I feel like the 6 degrees of separation tend to be a little bit too far for somebody who spends a lot of time putting together this magnitude of puzzles. But I also would not want to pretend to impersonate somebody who has the ability to, like, hack and access the dark web and
right.
stuff like that, too. So, you know, it's not me, and pretend it's me.
I think about that a lot, though, about, like, any of the cases that we're talking about, if somebody involved was to listen. It actually happened to us.
Yes, it did happen to us.
We did an episode on Mikkel Biggs, who is a young girl that went missing from our area, and one of our friends was like, oh yeah, I lived right down the road from her when that happened.
And was friends with a family member.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh.
And we were like, oh.
Anxiety.
So this is my two cents on a similar vein. I don't know how popular is the wrong term, how well known is in the States, but Netflix in Canada at least did a documentary about it called Don't F with Cats.
Yes.
Yep.
Ignatia. So I was working at a payday loan place, which I guess for legal reasons I won't explain which one. And Ignatia came in, and I was one of the people who, I mean, came in a couple times, but I was one of the people who served him.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so, I mean, for me, it wasn't memorable. I just remember when it came on the news, we had not a tradition, and I'm definitely not naming the place that I worked at because this was not okay. Whenever we'd hear on the news that somebody had been arrested or in trouble or something like that, we'd quickly look in our system to see if they had ever been a customer of ours because we'd have a photo and a profile, and it would be just kind of cool.
Hairdressers do the same thing.
Yeah. And there was, and you can see a transaction history and with the initials of people at Serum, and I was one of the people, and it was,
wow.
It wasn't memorable when it was happening. It was, you know, it was just another person, just the same as the person before and the person after, but it's one of those things you,
it's still freaky,
how,
yeah.
It's still freaky. So, yeah, you never know. You never know. Sometimes you invite somebody on your podcast. Sometimes you're serving them at your job, so you never know.
Yeah.
Do you think I've ever cut a murderer's hair?
I mean, it's possible. I actually have a photo from a food festival. I was at a food festival, and I took a photo with some of the presenters there, one of which was a friend. And a few months later, one of the other guys in the photo ended up murdering his family and then committing suicide. And, like, that photo of me standing next to him still exists, and I, like, hate that. I'm like, that's me next to the guy that killed his family and committed suicide. Like, I had no idea, obviously, at the time that he was gonna do that.
How the fuck do I not know this?
Katie is, like, shook.
That's the coolest story I've heard in the last 6 months. That's so cool. Why are we talking about anything else? That is amazing. Yeah, that's absolutely insane. Not to completely change the topic of this whole thing, but my mom, who is a doctor, works at a jail. Now, I don't know, once again, I don't know how popular Canadian serial killers are, but Bruce MacArthur, who was... in Toronto's gay village, he was a closeted homosexual that was inviting other men over and then would murder them. And he was a landscaper, and he was putting the chopped up body parts in his clients'
sick
like, flower beds and stuff like that.
Oh my gosh.
And post being found out, my mom had to deal with them.
Wow.
So, yeah. So. Oh. It's always crazy how it's just like everybody from around, or maybe it's just the three of us that are really close to it, and that's just we're naturally drawn to it. So maybe you have cut a lot of hair of murderers and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Dear clients, if you're a murderer, send me a listener tale.
Send a listener tale.
Do not pass go. Do not collect $200. Go straight to jail.
Now, I'm going to throw out an idea, and it's very creepy, but what if you just kept a little hair from everybody as DNA
Dude.
Evidence?
Dude!
I'm just saying.
That floats around hairstylist pages so often, like, there's nothing that prevents your hairstylist from plucking a hair and dropping it at a crime scene.
Which I always think about, like, the locks of love and stuff like that, so you get, like, a, you know, you get
away
from somebody, I'm like, if I ever have a terminal illness and I get a fresh flow from some generous donor, I am going to commit so many crimes.
And it'll be traced back to them. Dude, my hair went to locks of love once. I hate it.
Never thought about that. I do think about the fact that, like, human hair extensions super freak me out. Like, what if that person is no longer alive and now your hair is haunted?
Yeah. I mean, but people get donator organs, too.
I've also thought about that, and I both love and hate it.
Right. It can be heartwarming or super weird.
Yep.
I love donating blood for that reason, and I try to, in Canada, you can't sell your blood, you can only donate it. And I love that because I'm like, I get to make sure that my blood is in somebody else's body, and when they do cool stuff, that's also on me. So,
do they tell you when they use your blood when you donate blood?
Not in the U.S. anyway.
Not in Canada.
That'd be kind of cool, like a cool incentive program, like, hey, your blood has saved 3 lives, or whatever.
Oh, yeah. They do that. They, they don't, I think they had a program that was similar to that. I don't know, I don't feel confident enough about my knowledge about it. But I know that they're always running the thing of, like, when you donate blood, you save up to 8 lives.
Yeah.
And that's pretty cool. I just really like the orange juice and cookies that I get all the time, so that's a thing.
Yeah,
so.
I have unsuccessfully tried to donate blood like 3 or 4 times, and so at this point I've just given up. Something always goes wrong.
You're a passer-outer, aren't you?
She's a puker.
No, I did not puke.
Uh-huh.
No, one time I was on a medication that they said people could be allergic to. I didn't know this prior to signing up to go donate, and so they said, oh, we can't take your blood because people could be allergic to the medicine that you're taking that technically is in your blood. Go away. We don't want your blood. And then one time they said my iron was too low, which, like, that's fair. And then one time they said I didn't weigh enough, which is ridiculous because their weight chart didn't go all the way down to my height, and I'm not that short.
Don't listen to her. She's
just floating out there, being like, "Yo, I'm medically sexy today. Like, so fit.
Look at how healthy and viable my blood is."
Yeah.
That's the weirdest thing I think I've heard you say in a while.
And then one time I had begun the process, like the needle was in, the blood was going. And I guess the nurse thought something didn't look right about me, and she was like, leave, like, you look like you're about to puke, and she just, like, told me to get out. And then I puked. After the fact.
She put that in your mind. She had a lunch break in like 10 minutes, and she was like, this is going to take a long. She's like, you don't look good. You got to get out of here.
Yeah. Your hair definitely can't take those bleach highlights. You got to go.
The other thing is that my blood type is the universal receiver, so I can take any blood type, so, like, nobody cares about having my blood.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think we covered a lot of bases. I think we've covered that never donate anything because you'll go to jail if anybody does something wrong.
Or be haunted.
Also, I think we've all confessed to, like, 6 crimes already between me downloading music and you associating with, you know, different people and then donating your hair to serial killers and stuff.
Obviously. So
I think if this episode ever gets to air, I think we've got like a week tops before the feds catch up with us, so.
Well, they'll have to solve some puzzles.
Let's make this a good one while we still have it. So getting back to Cicada 3301, a year after the first set of puzzles came out, the second one came out, so there was a new message from Cicada 3301 stating, "Hello again," in a very similar terms. "Hello again. Our search for intelligent individuals now continues." Mm. I like to say that the first one was they were looking for intelligent individuals, and the second one they were looking for intelligent individuals. You just need to be smart. The first clue is hidden within this image, so once again, find it, and we will lead you the road to finding us. We look forward to meeting the few that will make it all the way through. Good luck, 3301. So, once again, we've got another puzzle using OutGuess. And once you've got that, it gives you a book with a code. What a big surprise. And you need to find the book this time. So, it gives you the book code. Ask you to find the book, so it gives you the answer without the key, kind of thing. The book whose study is forbidden, once dictated to the best, to be read once and then destroyed, or you shall have no peace, and then a bunch of text and good luck. So this was a nudge towards the right text that you were looking at, and it was a book called The Law, Liber Alvel Leggers. Once again, I'm going to pronounce half of this wrong. It's by Aleister Crowley.
Okay.
Yeah, so what makes this book in particular really interesting is that if I'm not jumping ahead, I believe that this book in particular was encrypted in a unique way that it was supposed to be read in the dark, and once introduced to the light or something like that, it would start to fade away
Some Aleister Crowley bullshit, absolutely.
And, yeah, so that from this book, it was kind of a timed thing, and then if you couldn't get it out in time, then you were stuck. However, and at this point, we're in so deep with these puzzles, and they're getting so difficult and so intricate that half the stuff, I swear, is not even accurate, but we're getting this information secondhand from the people who are much smarter than us. The next step that it came to was an audio file. So now we have music to listen to. Now, this was titled The Interstellar Emergence, and the artist was 3301, which is awesome. So it's an instrumental guitar one. Once again, definitely look up Skater 3301 on your own, and you can actually listen to this track. If you reverse the guitar track and played it amplified, the song has a code actually in it.
I love that.
How Pink Floyd of them.
Very. And it had to do with, like, the BPMs, and then once you slowed it down a little bit, it came out a lot better. So this is where it tends to get a little muddled for me in terms of exactly how they pulled this all out. Like, I can explain to you how a Caesar cipher works through and through, but extracting a code from an audio file is a league of its own. So they are definitely stepping it up, and you know, they're looking for something in particular. So yeah. The answer to this puzzle, however some geniuses end up coming up with it, is talking about a parable. So now we've got another book.
Okay.
It says, The Interstellar Emergence, Parable 1595-277641, like the Instar, tunneling through the surface, we must shed our own circumferences, find the divinity within, and emerge. So, once again, you can tell that they're putting in quite a bit of riddles and things that are much beyond.
It's very cryptic.
Yeah. So, while people were looking through this, they were trying to find where this ended up leading. It ended up bringing to a Twitter account, and there was multiple things that were particularly interesting and weird about this Twitter account, but it had a very Cicada 3301 feel, so a lot of people felt like they were on the right track. So we've now got an image, and now we are dealing with prime numbers, and we are now working with hex code and a couple other things. So we have now a new type of form, which is now bringing us to an answer key. Now, the cool thing about this answer key is it utilizes runes, and the runes won't be used again for a little bit. So it's okay. Actually an Anglo-Saxon rune set.
This is the photo that I saw. Yeah. I just recently had one of my students in sixth grade ask me about these ruins, too. So it's like it's just a very weird sort of coincidence.
The red thread.
Yeah, I'm just like...
Maybe, maybe not.
Maybe my student is Cicada 3301.
I would be so impressed with this small child.
Well, to be fair, if he's a sixth grader now, he probably likely would have been born in about 2012, 2013.
True.
So, it's unlikely.
So, and from here on out, there is quite a few instances of turning over to get information from now some Tor, like utilizing Tor to get onto the deep web. So there's a couple instances of that. For the sake of time, I'm going to skip over quite a bit of that, just because it runs down to a phone number. And we now have, once again, these posters in real life, and they're asking for a phone number for you to call.
Yeah. And this is, again, where I'm like, this is a little too real now. It's scary now. Now that your phone number is involved, I don't like it.
Don't watch the tapes, because that's how you get possessed.
And once again, it's utilizing that we're reaching out in the real world, and you're now giving over a phone number. You know, how much more information are you willing to give this game? Because now it has your phone number. It's got access to you through a personalized email that it's getting you to. It's making you jump through all these hoops, but in the meantime, you're pushing yourself through all these permissions to utilize personal information, and you're now becoming part of the society for the people who've been able to make it through, but you are also now in kind of at the mercy of whoever's behind this. So the puzzles also continue utilizing more codes, more books, and where the second section of the puzzle's end is we are now introduced to a book that is quite obviously written by Cicada 3301, combined with a couple other books that has come along the way. So we have seen a lot of instances of books being utilized, and the books are constantly referencing freedom of speech and things of that nature, and now we're seeing something that we can quite honestly believe that is connected to 3301. And once again, this is where things close up, and we've selected the few people that we have, and the sign-off, and the thank you, and the promise to be in contact again. So that is the most amount that I feel confident talking about Cicada 3301 with certainty, because from then on out, I'm so enamored with the story so far that I think any kind of deep dive into it any further not only is going to be too much more, but with every iteration and every turn of the wheel, things get a little more mullied, a little more difficult, and a little bit more out of my realm of understanding. So I know that my eyes have glossed over quite a few times while looking into this, so I'm not expecting anybody who is possibly hearing for this for the first time secondhand from me would benefit from me going into, you know, essentially the part three. So all of that's available online, but the question still remains unanswered. Who is Cicada 3301?
Yeah, and yeah, who is it? What is their purpose? What happens to those people that are invited into that select group that, you know, we've found who we need? Do these people have families? Like, do they just...
Is there follow-up? Is there a Facebook group that these people are talking in?
Support group?
I can almost guarantee that they do not message on Facebook, like, Messenger.
Right, right.
could you imagine? That's just... Because, wait, wasn't it, the Golden Gate Killer got, like, just last year or the year before, just got caught, right?
Yes, the Golden State Killer was apprehended.
His niece was, like, did a, like, 33andMe or something like that, right? Wasn't that the case?
Yes.
Yeah, it was a familial DNA.
So, like, could you imagine just, like, Cicada 3301 was, like, completely undone by some, like, Karen on Facebook who
yeah.
is obsessed with Candy Crush who accidentally stumbles, you know, butt backwards into the beginnings of Cicada 3301, be like, oh, this is interesting, I like puzzles, and just accidentally unravels the whole thing.
Dude, as long as the microtransactions were enticing enough, it would work.
Yeah, you give some pretty colorful gems to anybody who is, like, 47 and above, in an unhappy marriage, and I'm sorry for the people that I'm adding right now, but they will get to the bottom of anything. Yeah,
and while we're dating ourselves, can we talk about Farmville for a second?
Oh, fuck Farmville.
People would
sorry,
play
Mom.
Farmville in my fucking college lectures. Like, I was like, bro, we're in class right now.
This is the most expensive game of Farmville you will ever fucking play. Put it down.
You know, and it happened to us too, and or to myself as well, going through university. And you're right, but it would be in a class of like 200 students, so it's like the professor doesn't care if you're
right.
here or not. You can get up and leave and go play this in your dorm.
Exactly.
And I just, yeah, no, it was crazy. You know, and that's one thing I do contemplate a lot is that we didn't spend any less time doing dumb stuff. So I mean, for every time I've ever heard anybody go, ah, kids these days, they blah 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 too much, whether it's they spend too much time on TikTok, which I mean, also guilty of now. We're playing these really high intense, awesome, you know, first person shooter, like, I mean, no matter what you think about Fortnite, that sounds really awesome that you have like a group network playing the same game all at the same time. We did the same thing. We spent the same amount of time, but we were just playing Super Mario clones on
yep.
Flash players. We were playing Farmville, like, we had to wait 20 minutes for our corn to harvest, you know, like,
yep.
random garbage like that, so.
I mean, how excited were millennials when Pokemon Go came out, right?
It's true.
I was part of the people who were just, like, refreshing it every 2 minutes because we kept crashing.
Yeah.
Although, truth be told, I still play Pokemon.
The
Go,
number
so.
Of public parks that I visited that year that I would not have visited otherwise just astounds me.
For sure.
There was some cool Pokemon Go stuff at the hospital where I delivered.
That's Cicada 3301 in a nutshell. As always, I mean, definitely check it out. There's a ton of great breakdown videos on online where you can see all the pictures, you can look at all the books, you can listen to the MP3 files, and it'll take you through the dark web without actually having to leave YouTube or anything like that. So
right.
You don't have to infect your family computer or anything like that. So definitely check those out. Support the creators who have put together those videos, you know, and stuff like that, because they deserve it. And but yeah, absolutely. So why do you guys in particular believe if you don't mind me asking a couple of silly questions about this, but why do you guys believe that Cicada 3301 has taken off in such a manner in compared to, I mean, any other internet puzzles? Because there's not a lack of internet puzzles, but why do you think this one in particular is just still talked about to this day?
I definitely think part of it is, as we were discussing earlier, the exclusivity of it. People want to be included in that club, so to speak.
I want to be in the smart club.
Right, and if you're not, it sort of just makes you want to be in it more. The anonymity is a big thing on both sides, that mm-hmm. you don't know who Cicada 3301 is, but also that you have that internet anonymity of, you know, you feel a little bit safer. And, I think, too, the way that it's worded, like, hello, we're seeking highly intelligent people. And then even when they finish up and they're like, we've found all of the people that we need, and it's not you. Like, it's just very baiting, I feel like. And so those three things sort of combined with the level of knowledge and experience, I guess, needed to solve the puzzles, I think really makes it enticing to a large group of people.
Well, and you have the, you know, the who, the what, the when, the where. You have no fucking why. You have no why at all whatsoever.
Yeah, it's the same reason we want to find out who killed JonBenet Ramsey and, like, Tamla Horsford and
yep.
all of the cases that we look into that are unsolved, and part of why we find true crime as fascinating as we do. We want to understand why.
You're trying to figure out the pathology behind it.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. If you had to guess right now, that's the million-dollar question, who is behind Cicada 3301?
I don't know that I feel that it's a government entity, but I do think that's a good answer. Like, it could be, but I don't feel that it is.
I'm just full of spooky shit. I think it's someone out there trying to harvest kidneys in a bathtub. I don't know. Sell babies on Wayfair. I don't... Allegedly.
Allegedly.
My personal guess, and this is what I believe in my heart of hearts to be true, is that Cicada 3301 is a highly intelligent individual who might have recruited a couple of other highly intelligent individuals before even releasing Cicada 3301. Just, you know how you are at the bar where your buddy has a $1 million, you know, tech idea where he's like, oh, it's like Tinder, but for cats.
It's like a Twinkie inside a Twinkie, man.
Yeah. Or whoever came up with the Taco Bell Dorito taco, you know, it's one of those geniuses.
Yeah.
And I think it's just one or a couple of them that have put this together, and this is their entrepreneurial, let's take back the world. And I'm just quickly going to Google one quick fact just so I don't make myself look silly by getting my dates wrong. But I believe that this is came out, yeah, because, well, this came out after, so Mr. Robot, which is a TV show,
okay,
came out afterwards, but it deals with a similar type of hacking as a superpower. Even though that came out afterwards, we always see TV shows and whatnot follow trends.
Right.
You know, there's never been more Marvel and, you know, DC and superhero TV shows because the movies have been coming out, and then that's where the audience is going. And when Star Wars came out in, like, the late 80s and 90s, originally, we saw a move towards sci-fi and fantasy and stuff like that. So I think there might be an influence from general society of this being cool mixed in with an individual or a couple individuals who are like, let's reset the world. I want to use my ability to understand my knowledge of technology, the internet, computers, to essentially become a superhero of the modern age. So I want to amass enough mental power that we can compete with global powers on a digital stage. And not to solidify that, but to possibly push in that direction. And I mean, Sherlock Holmes would be very, very upset with me in terms of, I'm basing this off no facts, but just my emotions. But we see a lot, it's common knowledge that international international organizations use digital platforms such as social media or others
right.
to influence things like elections or stuff like that. I'm not getting into conspiracy theories. I mean, I'm not to the extent.
I mean, you could if you want.
It is a documented fact that, you know, there has been influence. The success of it is arguable. But if you have that and you have individuals who have that mental capacity and that ability and whatnot, there might be an idea from a group or a couple of individuals to say, what if we amassed a group of like-minded thinkers and we wanted to enact change and we were going to do that through digital means? And we were creating a tiny but powerful army of digital hacking people.
X-Men.
That's in my heart of hearts, I think, what it is. And people want to play from the shadows. Now, how effective that group, if it was amassed or is currently still active, how powerful and how useful they are is questionable. I mean, the price of gas hasn't changed on my end, but maybe that's not what they're looking to change. So, I mean, I haven't seen anybody say, hey, you know, your debt is forgiven. You can thank 3301, SCADA 3301.
For right.
That kind of thing. But I like to think that there's somebody out there that is possibly wanting to fight towards some sort of change in what they see as a positive thing, which is both creepy because if their positive thing doesn't align with what I think or what actually ends up helping me, then that can be very dangerous.
Right. It could be very good or it could be terrifying.
It just depends on whose hands it is.
Yeah. Well, yeah, super cool. Thank you. And like he was saying, there's a ton of stuff on YouTube. We found a documentary-style video that's like four parts. You can check that out. And I didn't look into it yet, but I found a thing on Reddit of a guy who claims that he was one of the group in that group that was messaged back by 3301, and he was sort of making videos talking about his experience. So, again, I don't know for sure. I haven't checked it out yet, but maybe do some Reddit digging if you're interested in that.
And P.S., we should figure out how to message him.
Like, if you are smart enough, then maybe he'll message you.
Ooh.
Right? This is it. Step one, right here. You know, within 2 weeks, if you don't hear from us again, we're either dead or part of some secret society, so.
Or the cops are onto us.
Or we're investigating JonBenet Ramsey's murder.
Or we've been hired by the FBI. Well, yeah, thank you so much again, Keith, for being on here with us, and be sure you guys check out USB Escape if that sounds like something you are interested in, and we're gonna head out.
Absolutely. Thank you guys once again so much for having me on the show. It was so amazing to talk about something that I really, really enjoy, not only puzzles, but spooky puzzles in the background. I appreciate you guys for not only, like, reaching out and being able to talk with me, but making everything work and accommodating in this crazy busy world we live in.
Yes, it was a little bit of a struggle to get all our schedules lined up, but we have it, and it's coming to you guys, the listeners, right now.
Thank you for taking us down the rabbit hole. It's definitely very interesting.
Yeah. Do you want to do our outro with us?
Oh, heck yeah.
All you have to say is, but you can never leave, after I say you can check out anytime you like. All right. Remember, you can check out anytime you like, but you can never leave. Bye.
Adios.